Thanks for BI for inviting me and appreciate being here. A year ago, I wouldn't have been here. PERS was the last thing on my mind. Where I'm at, we're 3 miles away from any other pigs, except for one producer is 2.2 miles away from me, and I sell him his pigs. You know, we've been PERS negative for 5 years, and it just really wasn't on my mind. And we got rolling hills and where we're at, and flat didn't matter where we're at. We had a major outbreak started last May. What we think had happened was we had a truck backed up to our loading dock. He got about 100 yards down the road, pulled off in the ditch, tried to get the thing out. You know, if he'd have just sat there a little bit, we'd have got him out, but he tried to get it out. Next thing you know, we got turned over. And the next thing you know, we got pigs laying on top of each other, and we did everything that you can do wrong on biosecurity in the next 2 hours. It was a humane thing to do. And then the next 2 hours, we tried to clean that up, you know, try to clean all of our equipment and everything else. You know, staff went home. We did have some people that stayed away that went around pigs that day, but about 2 weeks later, we broke with PERS. Now, I'm not 100% sure that's where it happened. There was three separate sites that ended up breaking that had flu symptoms about, you know, around that same time. And so it could have happened somewhere else. We're not sure. And I'm kind of glad I don't know how where it exactly happened, because now I'm working on everything that's a possibility. To put things in perspective for you, our losses, we had about 20% of our finishers die. That wasn't the only thing. We had sort losses up in the $4 and $5 range. We had pigs that weighed 270 pounds that weighed, you know, 240 a couple weeks later. I mean, they just literally laid around and didn't eat, didn't get up. It was horrendous. It was 144. Our nurseries, we had anywhere, the best nursery we had about 35% death loss. The worst we got is a little over 90. It looked like a concentration camp in our nursery. As a matter of fact, one day I was in there, I was euthanizing pigs, and the guy said, you know, you need to stop because we don't have enough room on the rendering truck. If they'll live till tomorrow, you know, we'll have some room. Our sow farm had about 7 to 8% death loss. We didn't wean a pig. We weaned 37 pigs in about a 6-7 week period. We normally wean, you know, over 1,400. In about a 5 week period, we hauled off 619,000 pounds of dead. And, you know, most of that handled three times. You know, because we had to get it out of the barn, then we had to load it, and then we had to unload it, you know. So, and that was probably the hardest thing that I did is you're looking in the eyes of, you know, 25 employees, and they're wondering whether they got jobs. I'm wondering when this thing's going to stop, because it was like Groundhog Day. It was the same thing the next day and the next day and the next day. And you do that for five straight weeks. It gets demoralizing. But you got to look in their eyes and, you know, hey, we're going to get through this. It'll be all right. And and I'm sitting here thinking about the financial aspects, which right now we're right in the middle of financial aspects of it, because we have no sales, basically, and yet we're ramping back up with production and feed and all that. You know, like I said, we're about a 3,000 sow farm. It's going to roughly hit us for about $3 million, you know. Now, where we're at on this is, and so that's the reason I'm motivated to get one of these projects started. We're in the process of getting negative again, and we're working really hard on it. We've got funding from the Missouri Pork Association. We've got a committee of about five or six of us formed. And the other thing I should mention to you, you know, we blew up 11,000 sows in about a two-week period. It not only was us. There's a farm that was southeast of us that blew up, and it's about 3.8 miles away. We had a farm that the one that I sold wiener pigs to, he blew up about the same time we did. He's 2.2 miles southwest of us. And then we went northwest to a farm that has nothing. There's nothing in common at all. 6.8 miles away, lots of trees, hills, hollers, and everything else between us. and blew up about the same time. We had perfect conditions. It was cold. It was damp for about 5 weeks straight. Light winds. I stepped out one night there, and you could just feel this light wind. It was about 45 degrees, little moisture, and it was. And we'd already, our south side was just south of me, was blowing about taking it right over our south side about 2.2 miles away. So, I mean, you know, we just had the perfect conditions to spread this thing. Again, we've got, where we're at on this, we've got a committee formed of about six or eight of us. We've got a guy that's a feed dealer who knows every site in our area, and he's been real helpful. We got a local vet. And several other, or about four or five other producers that are involved with this thing. We've got our sites all identified. And then probably one of the most important things, we got Dr. Beth Young here with the Commercial Ag Program at the University of Missouri is going to be our coordinator. And that's going to really, you know, get us started off in the right direction, we think. And we're here, and that's what I'm kind of here. I'm trying to find out, you know, what's our next step and where do we go from here. And the other thing we're going to do with this is we're going to try to put a case study together about how bad this outbreak really can be. And you want something that if we get it done right, you know, we're going to put the financials with it, and we're going to put the I'm keeping track pretty well of all the different things we're doing in the cleanup and all the things we went through. If we get that done right, that'd be a great thing for you guys to take. And well, here's how bad it can really be. You know, and it's a good motivator for people to want to get cleared up. And I think that's going to help us. Now, and one of the other things that I did, as soon as we found out we were broke, I got on the phone to all the producers, as many producers in our area. I also called the Missouri Pork Association and said, hey, stay out of our area. This is a real bad boy. You know, anything you can do because you don't want to spread this around. Now, the worst thing that we did is the same thing that everybody does, is here we've got a bad break. And we're sending pigs out everywhere, marketing them, you know. I don't know what else you do in that situation because you couldn't you surely didn't want to euthanize all of them. So you know, the ones that you know lived and kind of, you know, were healthy enough to sell, we did, you know. And the other thing that probably's not mentioned nearly enough, I think one of the main culprits we've got in this that's keeping this thing, you know, is allowing us to spread is if we didn't have to go to a packing plant, you know, I don't think we would break, you know. But we send, our truck's got to go to a packing plant, and there's PRRS-positive pigs there. And even if you're cleaning and washing trucks, you know, And we loaded out a lot of roaster pigs at that time because we got those sold before we had very serious death loss in them. But, you know, and those trucks all came in, they were supposedly clean, and there wasn't a one of them, and I thought that was really clean. And so, you know, those trucks that are coming back from the packing plant, you know, that's one of my biggest concerns. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to require a clean truck, and then we're going to make the trucker change over in our clothes, in our boots, and then he's going to go on to our loading dock, and we have a loading dock. I think we have pretty good biosecurity procedures before this because we haul all the pigs to loading dock, and then the trucker takes them, you know, and loads them on his truck and leaves, and he doesn't even go close to any of our barns ever. And so we thought we had a pretty good break there, but you know, obviously not. But anyway, we've increased the procedures. We're going to make them now change into our clothes and our boots, and just because we're trying to keep that packer thing. And I have, you know, I've talked to a couple of different packers, you know, that are, you know, fairly far up in their buying group, and you know, and I've mentioned, you know, what are you guys going to do? Because you know, if you guys don't, you know, and I don't know what you can do, but you need to study it and see what you can do to eliminate the amount of virus, you know, that's at you know, where we're unloading these pigs. And I don't know whether it's spraying the docks down with Synergize or whatever. I mean, that's for you guys as vets, you know. I mean, you've probably got some ideas on that, but you really need to get to thinking about that because, you know, you got a truck like where we were sending trucks in with all those PRRS-positive pigs unloading, and then you send a negative truck right there. You know, and we're going to, you know, we're going to plants where there's lots of pigs that are PRRS positive, and we're going to get negative again. And you know, it's one of my biggest concerns anyway. It's something that we really, you know, I think we really need to address. But and again, I'd like to thank VI and thank you for allowing me to present this.
Thank you very much. And well, I think we're all done. And